Joining us now by phone is Lissa Radke, the U.S. coordinator with the Lake Superior Binational Forum. Lissa joins us from her office at the Sigurd Olson Environmental Institute at Northland College in Ashland, Wisconsin. Hello, Lissa.
Good morning, Veronica. Great to talk with you again.
You too. And we do talk with you regularly, Lissa, but for listeners who aren't familiar with the Lake Superior Binational Forum, tell us a little bit about the organization and your job as U.S. coordinator.
Sure. Well, I help a group of 24 American and Canadian volunteers work together with state, local, provincial, federal, and tribal governments to help manage the lake together. Our role as a forum and a citizen stakeholder group is to provide public input to the governments about how people who live up here and use the lake want to see the lake managed. And we also take information from the governments and bring it out to the public to help people make better decisions when they're out using the lake or using the lake for fun or their business or just enjoying their place here on the lake. So my role basically is to help the forum do its work, help spread the news about the issues about the lake, and help people find ways that they can connect to things that they can do to improve conditions up here.
So one of the things we often see are reports about current water levels on Lake Superior and the other Great Lakes. Can you talk a little bit about water levels and what makes them significant?
Sure. Sometimes it can be kind of a crazy picture when we see water levels fluctuating wildly over time, and there's some good reasons for why that's happening. First of all, there's enough water in Lake Superior to flood all of North and South America to a depth of 1 foot. There's actually 3 quadrillion gallons of water in Lake Superior, and that is 3 followed by 15 zeros.
15 zeros?
15 zeros. So we think, you know, what's the problem? It's such a huge lake. Why are we worried about the lake going up or down? Well, the average annual water level is 601 feet above sea level. And even though it's a huge lake and that's a lot of water, we're not invulnerable to impacts on changing that water level, as many of us have clearly seen in the last 8 years. In fact, NOAA Weather, a federal agency looking at the weather, has said that we are now coming out of 8 years of what they call extreme drought in the Lake Superior Basin. And that's a major trend over time, that the lake level is going down on average over time. In fact, the record low water level for the lake was set back in August 2007. We were 22 inches below that annual average level of 601 feet above sea level, 22 inches below that level. And that was the lowest average level since 1925. So because of that extreme drought, the level was so low that we broke an almost 80-year-old low water record. Now, many of us are noticing, though, in the last 8 months, we've had significantly higher rates of precipitation of both snow and rain, and the lake is now only about 1 inch below its average level. So we've really come a long way. After 8 years of drought, in 8 months, the level has gone back up to near normal. So, in fact, according to the Army Corps of Engineers, which regulates the water levels on all the Great Lakes, they have a recent report that says Lake Superior had the largest change in its water level in a six-month period in 96 years. And that six-month period was this January to this June. So we have had 29 inches of rain in the last 6 months and snow, and that's just extraordinary impact on the water level.
Wow. So you mentioned drought and precipitation. Are there other things that cause the water levels to fluctuate?
Well, it's really those two things. There's the weather, which changes, you know, daily. And then we look at climate change, which is measured as long-term trends over extended periods of time. So as I mentioned, our weather has changed. We've had these extra 29 inches of rain in the last 6 months. But also we're seeing long-term trends globally. And these trends have been documented very succinctly by Dr. Jay Austin at the University of Minnesota in Duluth. He's been studying long-term climate changes, and his research very clearly shows an overall increase in temperatures and a decrease over time of precipitation and ice cover. And many of us have seen that as we use the lake and live next to this huge body of water, that there's less ice that covers the water in the winter. And that's a significant factor. Even though we might love the open water and maybe it gives us more time to spend time on the water in our shoulder seasons, but the ice cover is important for holding that water in place. Evaporation in the Lake Superior Basin is one of the main contributors to decreasing the amount of water in the basin. In fact, a climatologist at the University of Nebraska says that on average, Lake Superior loses 29 billion gallons of water every day through evaporation. So it's a significant amount of water just on a good day, nice warm day, maybe a little bit of wind. 29 billion gallons every day are being evaporated. So the ice cover is an important factor in holding that water in and keeping it from evaporating in the winter.
So, Lissa, what are some of the impacts we're seeing from the changing lake levels?
Well, we're definitely seeing impacts on our human environments and our natural environments. Many people might have experienced in the last 8 years that it's difficult to get boats into docks and piers, both our recreational vessels and also commercial vessels such as freighters and the ferries. It's just the water drops and it's less shallow and it's harder to get larger boats into the shores and our harbors. In fact, the Duluth Port Authority says that for every inch of water level that drops, a freighter has to leave another 100 tons of goods behind at the port. And that means it becomes more inefficient and more expensive to ship our goods and products on the freighters. So it really has an economic impact on our human environment when there's less water. And certainly nature really, our natural environments aren't affected as much. Nature is used to changing water levels, and nature is very adaptable. So during flooding times, nutrients cover the stream and the river floodplains, and when water recedes, as it normally will, it leaves nutrients in the floodplains, and that's good for helping healthy ecosystems. And during droughts, our wetlands can grow on the edges of the water shoreline, which hosts new plants and is good for birds and amphibians. So changing water levels for nature isn't as big of a problem as it is for our human environment.
We're talking with Lissa Radke of the Lake Superior Binational Forum. Lissa, one more question. Do water levels in one Great Lake affect the other lakes?
Boy, they sure do. Since Lake Superior is at the headwaters of the other five Great Lakes, the International Joint Commission is in charge of regulating the outflow of water at the St. Mary or Sault Ste. Marie at the St. Mary's River, which empties into Michigan and Huron. And right now, because Michigan and Huron, those two Great Lakes are lower than average, the Army Corps of Engineers has gotten approval from the International Joint Commission to release 28,000 cubic feet per second of Lake Superior water into the St. Mary's River. And so what happens on our lake affects the other lakes downstream. And it's all being regulated very carefully by International Joint Commission, which oversees shared boundary waters. And I know I've put out a lot of information in a short amount of time, so on our Lake Superior Binational Forum's Facebook page, I put some links to these reports that I've described, and people are free to go and read more about what they might be interested in.
Lissa Radke of the Lake Superior Binational Forum, thanks so much for joining us today.
Great to talk with you, Veronica. Thanks.
For more information about the forum and issues affecting the Lake Superior Basin, visit superiorforum.org.